Seated in the what?
Heavenly.
Yeah. I told the crew this morning, we're in this same room, I feel like I should be teaching a history lesson or something in this room. Does this remind anybody of your college days? We didn't have the lights, though. They just had the things, right? Yeah. In my heart, this is a time of revival. And when I'm talking about revival, no, I'm not talking about that kind of revival. We're not going to hoop and holler and throw songbooks. You'll have Patrick after you if you try that. Anybody know what revival is? Cece.
When the written word becomes living and real in an individual's life.
There you go. The word of God living and real. You know, some of you, you need a good foundation in God's word because you're new in God's word. And get that foundation, and we can sure help you with that. But all of us need for that word of God to be living and real. We need to utilize the abilities that God has given to us and to make use of those great privileges that we have as God's children. We're going to be spending a lot of time in Ephesians, and I have no problem with that because it's my favorite book. But tonight, seated in the heavenlies, it's a done deal. We're going to look at who we were, we're going to look at who we are, and then we're going to see how we got there. And of course, we're going to start in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 2. I was going to start with who we were, but I thought we better read a verse before we get to that. So let's go to chapter 2 and verse 4. Everybody comfortable?
Very.
Very. Whoa, don't fall asleep on me. 2:4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. What a section of scripture. Keep this in mind when we go to who we were, okay? Because that we go up to verse 1, all right? Chapter 2, verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the flesh, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's who we were. Well, it says, and you, or it could say, even you. Let's see who the you is, all right? Who is the you? You who? Go to chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints, which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Now, a saint is somebody who lived a good life and then they died, and 50 years later, somebody said they could be a saint. Thank you. Because why would God write to dead people? It says saints. Saints are those who God made saints. He made them holy. He set us apart from all the rest. Those are the saints, okay? And then it says the faithful. And the faithful are people who have walked on God's word for a little while, all right? They've applied God's word. So that's chapter 1, verse 1. Now let's go down to verse 19, okay? So saints and faithful, verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who do what?
Believe,
according to the working of his mighty power. So the you here in chapter 2, in verse 1, it's the faithful, right? And it's the saints. And then in verse 19, It's us word who believe, right? That's the who. That's the you. And you. Hath he quickened? Hath he quickened? Those words, you see, they're in a kind of weird type. That means they weren't in the original text. Now, if you're worried about it, they do show up in verse 5, okay? So we're okay. But it says, and you, and then it says, walked. You walked. To walk means to conduct yourself, to conduct your life, all right? You walked. It's your sphere of behavior according to the course of this world. The course of this world. And this world are those systems and the ways of the world. And this section here, this course of the world, could be thought of as the worldliness of the world. You walked and I walked according to the worldliness of the world, as opposed to the heavenlies. We walked according to the worldliness of the world. And here we have the real kicker, according to the prince of the power of the air. Prince means ruler, right? Or like the chief operator, okay? The prince of the power. The word power there is the word authority. The prince or the ruler of the authority of the air. And air is a really interesting term here. The prince of the power of the air. The air is talking about the atmosphere. Now, you know the Earth, if you ever saw a picture of the Earth from space, you know, it has this atmosphere. I saw on the internet, which of course has to be true, that atmosphere is about 60 miles thick. But to the people of those times, there was the air, which was this dense part that we live in, and then there was the ether, all the rest, okay? And that part, that air that's just around us in this dense part in which we live, was associated with gloom and darkness. And so when we read this here, and when one of those people would read this here, they would see the ruler who rules with authority over this gloom and darkness. That's the environment in which we live. I wanted to give you a literal according to usage of this verse, okay? In which, sins and trespasses, you previously walked according to the worldliness of this world, according to the will of the chief power who dominates with gloom and darkness, even this spirit who works everything now in the sons of the disobedient one. That's who we were, okay? It's kind of a grim picture, but spiritually, let's get it right. That is the picture of the world today. All right? And anyone who is not born again of God's Spirit, that's the situation in which they are. Okay, verse 3. Among whom, also, we all had our conversation. Conversation means our way of life, okay? Our manner of life, our behavior. In times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. By nature, the children of wrath, even as everyone else. See, somebody who is not born again, it means they're subject to the wrath to come, and there is a day of wrath that's coming. Someone who's not born again of God's Spirit is going to be judged. You and I, who are as we are now, have already been judged in Christ. We don't go through the wrath, but people in this world, they're subject to the wrath of God. So we're in this atmosphere, and these people are subject to the wrath of God. They're certainly going to be judged. A nice literal, according to usage of this verse, is among the adversary's children. We were all conditioned and behaved according to the passionate lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the strong desire of our flesh and of our mind. And we were children destined for the wrath, altogether as the rest. See, most religions focus on behavior. Do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. But behavior can never change nature. So that's the reason that so many Christian believers are so frustrated. If you're focused on your works that are never going to measure up, you're always frustrated. We as God's people aren't to think that way. You know, you could get yourself a crown. You could buy a cape. Halloween's coming up, right? So this would be easy to get these things. You could get yourself a throne, all right, and sit on the throne. But does that give you any authority? No. Your behavior can be just like someone who's a royal person, but you're not of that bloodline, of that nature. Reminds me, my son Tim had a friend in high school named Maheen. Tim, do you remember where Maheen, his family was from?
Bangladesh.
He was from Bangladesh. They invited us over to dinner one night, our whole family. And so we went over to dinner, and we went into their kitchen, which was in their basement, and they had this table set. It was beautiful. We sat down. They stood. It's kind of weird talking to people like this while you're eating. The food was so good, man. But we're like talking to them like this. It was a little awkward for us, but that was their culture. But then they invited us into the living room, and we go into the living room, and right there in the middle of the living room is this golden throne. I'm like, oh my gosh, what in the world is this? And I wanted to sit in it, but thought I might get shot. So I left it alone. But Mr. Maheen's dad, he wasn't a king. He had a throne in his house. Maybe he was king of his house, you know, but he wasn't a king. He could make all kinds of proclamations, get the wave down and everything, but no authority. The behavior maybe looks the same, but no authority. I wondered sometimes if Mrs. Maheen ever sat in there when he went to work. You know? The queen of the laundry, queen for a day, but not really, because your behavior doesn't change your nature, okay? That had to come from somewhere else. And so religions focus on behavior, but God changes our nature. Another way I like to think about this is a fishbowl. JM, where's JM? You don't have the aquarium anymore.
No.
They all die? All the fish died? Or did you do something, Trevor? Oh, you're not talking. They used to have a fishbowl. Now look, inside the fishbowl, there's good fish and bad fish, right? We know, we've all seen them, the good fish, they're happy, they're nice to each other, they eat the algae off the side of the bowl and everything, right? And the bad fish, they terrorize the good fish, right? Okay? But we, looking from outside, can look into that fishbowl and we say, they're just stuck in the fishbowl. No matter what their behavior is or what their manner of life is, they're just stuck in the fishbowl. See, that's like this atmosphere that we have around us. It's this atmosphere, and we are in this atmosphere. Let's go to chapter 2, verse 4. It's time for us to get to my favorite butt. Everyone has a favorite. I'm talking about in God's word. Everyone has a favorite. This one's my favorite in God's word, okay? And it says, But God. Thank God he put that in there, because it was getting pretty dark, right, in the fishbowl. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, told you it was in there, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace you're saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now, why in the blazes would God take people who are dead in trespasses and sins and give us this lofty position? It's right in this verse. Because of the great, plenteous love that God has. That's the reason that God did it, because of the great love. Our works never could have made a difference. I was thinking today about that verse. There's a verse in Psalms, I think it's Psalm 49, and he's talking to the rich people. He says, you can't buy redemption for your brother. He says, it's forever unachievable. And some of the translations actually say, don't even try. Don't even try, because you can't do it. It took God doing it. He had to change our nature. He had to give us a new nature. So it's because of his great love for us. Okay, let's look at verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. You know, those words, trespasses and sins that we saw in verse 2, or verse 1, trespasses is a word for sins that means to have a misdeed, all right? It's a misdeed. It's like you have a lapse from truth and righteousness, okay? A misdeed. I think of it as a wrong turn. You just made a wrong turn. But then this word for sins is to miss the target, is to miss a target. So you have a target, but you miss it. The situation for the Gentiles was that they're always making wrong turns, right? The situation for the Judeans was they had a target, God gave them the law, but they missed it. They missed it. I think of it like when you come to a traffic place and there's that light there, red, yellow, and green. Okay, red means stop, green means what? And yellow means speed up as fast as you can before it turns red, right? Well, according to the law, that's not exactly how it is. But in reality, that's what we do, isn't it? So here come the Judeans. They see the red light, but they don't stop. So they go into the intersection, get hit by a truck. The Gentiles, they're driving around aimlessly. Oh, look at the pretty colors, red, yellow, green. They go through the intersection, they get hit by a truck. Whether they had the law or not, they all got hit by a truck. But God changed our nature. So we were dead, and those are the two major words in the Bible in Greek for sins and trespasses, for sin. You know, those two ideas, and they're right there in that one verse. But God took us out of that. So we get to verse 4. God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Now I want to read this verse 5 and 6 again with you, and let's look at whether it's in the past, the present, or the future, okay? So even when we were dead, past, present, or future?
Past.
Hath quickened us together.
Present.
Well, actually, it's in the past. It's in the past. By the way, they all are, but, you know, spoiler alert. Okay, and then verse 6, and hath raised us up together,
past,
and made us sit. Past. In the Greek, they're in the aorist tense, but that basically is the past for us, right? Are these anything that we do?
Yeah.
They're things that he did. They're things that he already did. They're in the past. By the way, I think it's great he said he made us sit. He didn't say, would you like to have a seat? It just says, he made us sit. There you go. Well, of literal, according to this verse 6, is and awakened us together and seated us together by heavenly things in Christ Jesus. Now, you got to think, when did God do this? It was in the past, right? When did God do this? See, this is God's word. And if this is God's word, every word is true. Everything in it is true. And we can stake our very lives on it. If we know God's word, we can stake our very lives on those words of God that we know. And you may not know a lot, and I may know not that same thing I was going to say. But if we have that word of God, we could stake our very lives on that word of God because it will come to pass when we believe. That's the word of God. There's a lot of nice people out there in the world, a lot of nice Christian people out there in the world. Niceness doesn't get you anything spiritually. It's by believing that we receive things from God. I wanted to read through some of these verses here in chapter 1 because when I first really studied Ephesians years ago, and by studied, I mean I went through core notes that Dr. Werwell had taught of Ephesians. He taught it 3 times. Then I looked up words and everything, and I was really amazed in chapter 1 of how many times it repeats the words in him, in Christ. And we're going to look at some of these because it really ought to resonate in our minds. This first part of Ephesians is not about anything that we do. And this whole time that we're together this weekend, we're not talking about you got to do this, you got to do that. Let's just take a moment and enjoy what God has done for us. What God has done for us. We're always thinking about, I got to do this, I got to do that. Some of you are thinking about it right now. What do I have to do after this? Do I have to, should I pick up my child or not? You know, all these things. I forget. Did I have coffee? No, I didn't have coffee. I wanted coffee. No, but we're going to look at what God has done for us. Chapter 1, verse 1 again. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are in Ephesus and to the faithful in what?
Christ
Jesus. See, our calling is in Christ Jesus. That's where it is. My wife Liz told me the other day, she counted like about 25 times this comes up in this first section of Ephesians. You think God is trying to tell us something? Well, let's look at a few of these. Verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, where?
In Christ.
By the way, these words in heavenly places in the Greek show up 5 times in the book of Ephesians. That's very cool, isn't it? Look at verse 6. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. In the beloved one. You know who that was? Jesus Christ, exactly right. In whom? The text read, in him. Who are we talking about? Christ, exactly. We have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Verse 9. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself. Himself in the text is in him. It's talking about Jesus Christ. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things where?
In
Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even where? In him, in the Christ. You get the point?
Yes.
He's making a point here. Verse 13. In whom? In him. Ye also, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom? In Christ. Also, after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Look at verse 20. Talk about his mighty power. Which he wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. And then chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. And God hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in what?
Christ
Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through what? In Christ Jesus. Do you see the emphasis there? We ought to just take the time and pause and just enjoy. Just enjoy what God has already done for us. It was in Christ. Now, there's nothing for us to do here. We accept what he gave us. So all these things, all spiritual blessings, lovely and acceptable, redemption, forgiveness, grace, the mystery, the return of Christ, sealed with Holy Spirit, quickened, raised, seated in Christ. My gosh, if you didn't do another darn thing in your life, just accept what God's already done for you. Let's accept that, and let's be that be the thing that we think about each other. He accepted us, we're in Christ, and we have all of these riches that he gave us right here just in this first chapter. Turn to Colossians, please. So we're in Ephesians, make a right, about 2 books, okay? 2 books, and we go to Colossians. Before we think much more about what we should or should not do, let's accept who we are in Christ, okay? If that's all we get out of this, that's a big thing. That's a big thing. We spend so much time because we live in this fishbowl. We are surrounded by good and bad fish, but that's our whole environment. We need these words of God telling us who we actually are. Colossians 1, verse 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us, what tense is that? You don't all believe me? Yeah, it's the past tense. It says, hath made us meet. Meet means adequate, or he gave us the ability to be partakers so we could share of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered, he already rescued us from the power of darkness. There it is again, right? He rescued us from the power of darkness. That's the exercise influence of authority, right? He rescued us from that. And what did he do? He hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Changed our kingdom. He already gave us a share in the inheritance. He did it. It's a done deal. There's nothing for us to do. He did it. Look at Philippians, please, chapter 3. So we're going to go left a little bit, okay? Philippians chapter 3. He brought us as citizens into the kingdom of his son. He brought us, changed kingdoms. He rescued us. That heavenly force was from outside of the fishbowl, okay? Look at what it says. By the way, in that fishbowl, the owner of the fishbowl could add some blue food coloring into there, couldn't he? Did you ever try that, Trevor? No. Some blue food coloring. What are the fish going to do about it? Nothing they can do. But the ruler of the darkness of that atmosphere can do that, right? Philippians 3 and verse 20. For our conversation, that means our citizenship, is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Today would be just awesome, God. Who shall change our vile body that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he's able even to subdue all things unto himself. Our citizenship is where? Our citizenship is in heaven. We're in the fishbowl still, right? But our citizenship is where? Our citizenship is in heaven. You know, I was thinking about this like with ambassadors. Let's say, Izzy, we're going to appoint you as an ambassador from the United States to Italy. All right? Not bad. Okay? To Italy. Actually, I looked up this ambassador to Italy. I feel like I know the guy. Okay, we appoint you as an ambassador to Italy. Whose rules do you follow? The rules of Italy or the rules of the United States? The United States of America, because you're a citizen of what? Here, you're in a foreign territory, aren't you? You know? Now, you're among people who look kind of like you, speak a different language, but while you're in Italy, you are governed by the rules of your citizenship, which is the United States as the ambassador. Now, you're going to have some espresso. I mean, who wouldn't? Little tiramisu? Oh, my gosh. Of course you will. But you can determine if you want to get embroiled in all of the works of Italy, even though you're from the United States, or not. And we're in that same situation. We are citizens of heaven. And sometimes Christian people get all embroiled into the things of this life, and it entangles them. And it also presses on who we really are, our true identity, which is as citizens of heaven. That's who we are. And that's what this whole first part of Ephesians is all about. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Left again for a bit, okay? Romans. So these first chapters of Ephesians don't tell us much about behavior, what to do, what not to do. They go much deeper into who we are. What you do doesn't matter so much if you don't know who you are. You can wear that crown and a cape and sit in Mahin's living room if you like. But my gosh, what difference does that make? We want to act on the authority that God has given to us. That's the stuff that we should be thinking about. Let's get our minds off of, I didn't do this, I didn't do that, or I did that and I didn't, you know, wasn't supposed to. Let's take a break from ourselves for a minute, okay? And let's appreciate what God has done for us in Christ. I said Romans. Did I tell you chapter 5? Romans 5, verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, I looked up those words. It means literally not strong. When we were not strong, okay? In due time, at the precise right time, Christ died for the beautiful people. He died for the devout and for the martyrs. Who did he die for? Yeah, the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God, ha, isn't that cool? But God, another beautiful but. But God commended, or he proved, he demonstrated, he favorably introduced his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God didn't see some kind of goodness in us that compelled him to want to help us. You get that? Okay? Kind of like a baby. You know, you see a baby and they're so cute. Honestly, I don't think all babies are cute. Some look like Winston Churchill to me. But all your babies, I'm sure, are very cute. There's a couple here and they are really cute. But God didn't look at us and say, I just got to help that person. That wasn't it. We were ungodly. We were like that dog in the pound that nobody will take because it eats the hand that tries to feed it. Except for Miriam. We know Miriam would take that dog. But outside of you, Miriam, the rest of us, we wouldn't do that, okay? But God, he commended his love. He favorably introduced his love. You know, in Romans and Ephesians, there are six things done to the body of Christ. We were crucified with him. We died with him. We were buried with him. We were quickened together with him. We were raised together with him. And we were seated together with him. Those are six things. We're going to learn more about identification tomorrow. But knowing this, knowing these things that God has done for us, how dare you condemn yourself when he says that he made you accepted in Christ? Who am I to speak against God? Think of it that next time that you want to condemn yourself and think you're... Who can say that you're not worth something when he had his son die for you? How can we? How dare us do that to God? This is what he has made us in Christ. This is the starting point for us. Don't you get it? It's not like we climb some ladder and then we finally make it. He made it for us, past tense. So how dare us condemn ourselves? Think that we're lonely. Think that we're the only people going through this. He did all of this to put us on a position which is above this world. That's how we should think about ourselves and that we should think about each other. How dare you judge your brother when that person is someone that also God had given redemption, given forgiveness, and seated in the heavenlies. That's what we have as the body of Christ. And Ephesians is not to individuals. Ephesians is written to the whole body of Christ. Let's go back to Ephesians, okay? Chapter 2. Here as we start out, let's just get the groundwork done. He did it in Christ. And so it's a done deal. You, yes, every one of you, each one of us, and we, this body of Christ, are citizens of heaven. We're seated in the heavenlies. It's a done deal. Nothing that you have to do, nothing that you could do for that. But God did it in Christ. Let's go back to chapter 2, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved, quickened together, and raised up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Together quickened, made alive. Together made alive. Together raised. And by the way, all these words, we're going to hear about this. All these words here, they all start with this same, what did they call that, a preposition or something? You know, it's this word together. Together quickened, together raised, together seated in the heavenlies. Together. It's all of us together. We've got each other. One thing I just was so looking forward to for this weekend was just that we could be together. You know, if this is all we did, and it's not, but if this is all we did, I think it might have been worth that six-hour drive, and even Atlanta traffic, possibly, for you to be here. Because look what each one of us brings to the body, and what we as a body can do for God, and how pleased he must be when we accept our position that he took us, translated us out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his son, and gave us citizenship. And then he said, Nawan, sit down. And you sat down, right? Made us sit. Some of you know, what is the significance of sit in the Bible? Done, completed, right? But there's another great truth. This seated in the heavenlies also brings authority. There's authority to that seat. Now look, we sat. When Christ sat, we sat. Did Christ have authority? He still does, by the way. And we sat. We have authority. This word in the Greek, it's the word from which today we have the word cathedral. You know what a cathedral is? It's an ugly building. It costs a lot of money. But you can't just build a cathedral if you want. I mean, I guess you could. You know, you could sit on a throne. But you can't just build a cathedral. You have to have a bishop there. Because the cathedral represents the seat of the bishop. The bishop is the one that has that authority in that church, okay? So that's where the Romans got all of this from, all right? But we are seated in the heavenlies. With that seat that we have authority. And think of us as representing the absent Christ here on earth. That's us. And not just you and you and you, it's us as the one body of Christ. We're going to close in Colossians chapter 3. Colossians. We have a seat with heavenly authority. Heavenly authority. Even while we're in this world. Okay, look, are we still in the fishbowl? Yes, we are. But we're not of the fishbowl, are we? And sometimes, maybe that blue food coloring clouds are thinking of who we are. And we can get a little entangled into the things of the world. We can allow some of those thoughts of the ways of the course of this world, the worldliness of this world, to cloud our thinking. But our position and the way that God sees us is seated in the heavenlies, raised together, quickened together, seated together. That's how God sees us. Now, why shouldn't we see ourselves the way God sees us? Really? And each other, too. I gave you plenty of time to get to Colossians. Are you there?
Yes.
Okay. Chapter 3, look at verse 1. If you then be risen with Christ, are you?
Yes.
Heck yeah, we are. We're in the South. I'm watching myself here. By the way, with this authority that we have, no devil spirit can stand up to you. We have to believe what God says about us. And what this world needs is not nice people. And most of you, at least, I know are nice. But nice people don't do anything. We need to use our authority and spiritually clean house here. spiritually help people. And while we're here, there's needs. Some of us got them. I think maybe all of us have some needs to get taken care of. Well, you are in the greatest place to get that taken care of. You are in a place of healing because we're in the body of Christ, because we're all here together and we believe God's word. Why not expect whatever that thing is that you're dealing with get taken care of while we're here? Why not? Why not? We're all seated in the heavenlies, and that's the way God looks at us. Colossians 3, verse 1. Oh, I started and I got caught up there, didn't I? If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are where? Not in the fishbowl, okay? It's not going to help the more that I think of the stuff that's in the fishbowl. I need to think about things above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Talking to Guy just earlier, he was talking about this guy that has some needs, and he gave him all these scriptures for him to think about. Every time that he went to a negative, he said, okay, look at that scripture, look at that scripture, look at that scripture. That's what we do. You got a situation in your life? What does God's word say about it? And then plug that thing into our minds that we think that. That's heavenly thinking. That's thinking above, seeking those things which are above, not on things on the earth. So that's what it says in the next verse. Set your affection. You do it. This is something you do. This is something I do. Set your affection, your thinking, on things where? Above, not on things on the earth. The more that we put those heavenly thoughts in our minds, the more we're going to walk according to the citizenship that we already have. Just like Isabel over here in Italy. She's got to remember that she's an American. Are you an American? Yeah. You are. Okay. She's got to remember that she's an American in Italy. And, you know, you might watch the football club, and but she is an American. We won't go more into sports because you know how that gets. Set your affection. Set your mind, your thoughts. Exercise your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. I told you revival. That's revival. That's revival. Not just that we know this, but that we do this. That we do set our minds. That's revival. The word of God living and real. When I see a need, and I've already seen it a couple of times today, somebody had a need. Immediately, there was somebody to help take care of that need. That's the body of Christ walking. That's walking with God. That's what we need in this world. If you're just nice, well, good for you. But so's that other fish that's right next to you. But if you can heal somebody, that's walking according to your heavenly citizenship. And then it says, verse 3, for you're dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. And here's the seventh of those things that are done to the body. I told you about the six. Here's the seventh. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. You see, in the future, we're not going to be in the fishbowl. We're not going to be on this earth. We're going to leave it. Food, coloring, atmosphere, the whole thing. We're leaving it all behind. Until then, though, we are here, aren't we? So while we're here, let's claim what we already have as citizens of heaven. Revival, revival. It's a done deal. He already took care of us. Now we just have to live according to what God has already done.